Are you familiar with the word resilience? Resilience. In material science, resilience is defined. It is the ability of something to return to its original shape after being bent, compressed, or stretched. In psychology, resilience is the ability to become strong, healthy, or successful again after something bad happens. It's the ability to bounce back after, or even in the midst of tragedy or threat, stress, or hardships in life. That's resilience. And I would like to give you an example of being resilient or resilience. We remember November 8, 2013. There's a typhoon called Haiyan. Remember that? In the Philippines, it was called Typhoon Yolanda. That was one of the strongest storms recorded on the planet. It's mass into the Philippines. It was known as Super Typhoon Haiyan or Yolanda, the deadliest on record, killing at least 6,241 and 1,785 missing, according to Wikipedia. The strongest typhoon ever, with a maximum wind speed of 315 kilometers per hour. It's double the speed of in New Orleans, Katrina, and the damage of $4.5 billion. Tacloban City, the center of the landfall, became like a ghost town. It was due also to the storm surge. CNN team led by Anderson Cooper in international TV, when he was there covering the tragedy, he appreciated the Filipino strength. He thanked them for their resilience, particularly the resilience of the victims of that storm. He said, "When everything else is taken away, broken, battered, stripped bare, you see things, you see people as they really are. This week in Tacloban, Samar, and Cebu, amidst the hunger and tears, the chaos and confusion, we've seen the best in the Filipino people. Their strength, their courage, I can't get it out of my mind." Imagine the strength it takes for a mother to search alone for her missing kids. The strength to sleep on the street near the body of your child. We've seen people with every reason to despair, every right to be angry. Instead, they find ways to laugh, to love, stand up, to move forward. In the end, the wind, the water, the horror it brings is not the end of the story. With an aid and assistance, compassion and care, this place, these people, they will make it through. They already survived the worst. They're bowed, perhaps tired and traumatized, but they are not broken. Mabuhay, Philippines. Maraming salamat, or thank you so much for all you've shown us. Maraming salamat for showing us all how to live. End of quote. That's resilience. Those people were able to sing, laugh, smile, play in the midst of the tragedy that happened to them. They have ability to, what we call, bounce back, rebound. Now, my question to you this morning, as believers of God, we claim that we believe the Lord. Are you a resilient person? Because that's what God wants us to live. Are you a resilient one? Do you possess that ability? And I pray this morning that this message, the passage, the verses, the principle will help us become a resilient person. And I believe one of the reasons why the Old Testament and New Testament believers survive in the midst of hardships, trials, persecutions, it's because they prayed. They prayed fervently. That's the title of our message, Pray Fervent Prayer. It is very important because if we pray fervently, you will experience the results, the blessings of it. I would like to share three principles today. First, if we pray fervently, it comforts the mind to have peace. It comforts your mind to have peace. In chapter 12 of Acts, let's get a background here. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on someone who belonged to the church. There's a persecution. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he sees him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chain fell off his hands. The background is, there was persecution. James, according to the historians, James was killed by the sword, or he was beheaded. And during this time, that was the night before the public trial, it's very possible that Apostle Peter will face death by burning, or either by beheading or stoned to death. There were, as mentioned, four squads of soldiers. Two guards, in verse 7, two guards were bound to him. One on his right, chained with him. On his right, and one on his left, plus the two sentry guards. So four guards, every shift, that's 16 guards in charge to watch Peter. I've never seen that kind of maximum security. We've seen ball and chain, right? But this time Peter was chained between two soldiers. But if you notice here, despite of what happened to him, Peter was able to sleep deeply. He had that peace of mind. What do you think is the reason? Or the reason why he was able to do that? In fact, the light shone on the cell. I see if somebody turns on the light when I'm sleeping, I easily get wake up. But Peter was still sleeping. In fact, the angel strike him on his side just to wake him up. And knowing that the day, it was the night before he will face public trial, he know that the people desire to kill him, but he has that peace of mind. Are you able to sleep well if you know that the following day you will die? Can you sleep deeply? Some people, just to think of their mortgage and their bills, they cannot sleep. Checking their credit, how much they owe in the bank, it's hard to sleep. But this man was able to sleep deeply. Why? Look at verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. There were people praying for him. And it's not only praying without sincerity, but was mentioned earnest prayer, fervent prayer. Other translations use the word without ceasing. Earnest prayer. And I believe Peter was praying too, because he is a man of prayer. He prayed to God, and that's why God gave him peace. That's resilience, right? What's the verse that supports our point this morning? It comforts our mind to have peace. When you pray, do you have any verse? The famous verse in Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7. What does the word of God say? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses, is beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This will support that truly, if we pray earnestly to the Lord, God will comfort us. It's not us. It's not from us. The peace doesn't come from us, but it's from God when we pray fervently. Psalm chapter 4, verse 8, this is King David. He said, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This happened during the time when he was persecuted by his own son, Absalom. His army, his counselors conspired against him, even his own son. He was a famous king before, now he became the fugitive. It's sad. Maybe when the time he was persecuted by Saul, King Saul, it's easy for him to understand because of jealousy. But this time his own son desired to kill him. But he said, in peace. And in fact, this is the time when he prayed because he was talking to the Lord. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I love this verse, Isaiah 26, verse 3. Oftentimes, this gives me confidence and resilience when I face situations in life. I remember January 2013. By the way, November 2012, we were so glad when we heard that we're having a baby. But 2 months after, January 2013, my wife had a miscarriage, and it's very traumatic. I don't know what happened because we went to the hospital. You know the egg? They put it beside my wife's bed. I don't know why they do that. It was very traumatic. And we prayed, Lord, because my wife was really crying the whole day. We pray to the Lord, pray. That's what we did. We pray. 2 months after, we get our first son. First kid, El Nathan. It's God's gift. This verse, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's not ordinary peace. Have you find any peace that you can compare with this? This is a perfect peace from the Lord. If you trust in him, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you put your trust in the Lord, if you pray fervently, God will give you that perfect peace, resilience. Now, let's proceed to the second point. It's not only if we pray fervently, it will not only comforts the mind to have peace, but it also causes miracle to take place. You remember the battle between Israel and the Amalekites? Moses was on the hill praying to the Lord, and every time he raised his hands, what would happen? Israel prevailed. But every time he put his hands down, Amalekites prevailed. And so he was so tired of raising his hand. He was the leader of Israel. His army, his commander of the army, Joshua, was fighting against the Amalekites. So when they noticed that Moses was so tired, he was not able to keep his hands up. His Aaron and Hur helped him. One raised his hand on the left and the other one on his right and the other one on the left. And they took a stone and allowed Moses to sit upon it. to keep him praying until they won the battle against the Amalekites. They prayed. Daniel prayed when he was in the lion's den. What happened to the lion? God shut their mouth. Ezekiel, is that Elijah? He prayed to the Lord and fire burned the sacrifice. In the New Testament, this is a fervent prayer, I believe, when a man, a leper, came to the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, 40 to 41. It says there, and there came a leper to him. It's ketong, right, in Tagalog. A leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. You know how terrible leprosy was during that time. Nobody wants to get close to them. They were isolated. They were considered outcast. They were put outside the gate. It's not only leprosy was contagious, but it's incurable. Unlike today, it's curable. But during their time, it's like a living dead. Your family wants to get rid of you. Society wants to get rid of you. They were outcasts. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he was moved with compassion. What happened? He healed that man. Just to give you a picture of how horrible leprosy is. In his book, Lee Husinga, in his book entitled Unclean, he said, the disease which we today call leprosy generally begins with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness follows. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, and scaly. The skin, especially around the eyes and ears, begin to bunch with deep furrows between the swellings, so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Eyebrows and eyelashes drop out. By this time, one can see the person in the pitiable condition is a leper. Next slide, please. By a touch of the finger, one can also feel it. One can even smell it, for the leper emits a very unpleasant odor. Moreover, in view of the fact that the disease-producing agent frequently also attacks the larynx, the leper's voice acquires a grating quality. His throat becomes hoarse, and you can now not only see, feel, and smell the leper, but you can hear his rasping voice. And if you stay with him for some time, you can imagine a peculiar taste in your mouth, probably due to the odor. Imagine. But when this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ did not say, no, don't get closer to me. But Jesus Christ was moved with compassion, healed this man, because this man trusted in him and prayed to God, asked God. And you know, a person who is a leper is not only affected physically, emotionally, because his family wants to get rid of him or her, mentally, and maybe spiritually. But this man approached Jesus Christ and he experienced that miracle. Truly, when we pray, miracle will happen. Do you agree with me? Amen. Amen, right? Now let's take a look at the verse here. It will not only, miracles will happen not only by praying, but as I've said, there's trust. We need to do something also. We have our part. If we take a look at verse 7 here, Acts chapter 12. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, get up quickly, and the chains fell off his hand. Peter is not able to remove the chains on his hand. So it's the angel who did something, right? He has no ability to remove the chains. And now the angel struck him on his side because he was sleeping. And the angel said, get up, put on your dress, dress yourself and put on your sandal. Peter is able to wear that. He can do that. So the angel did not do it automatically, put his hand up. Wear it. That's a simple task. That's the task that you can do. And then the angel said to him, and he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Peter, wear your cloak. And he followed, it says here, and he followed him. He didn't know what he was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading in the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel left him. Peter has no power to make themselves invisible. The angel did something. I don't know, maybe he blinded or made him asleep, the first and the second guard. Peter has no power to open the gates. It's the angel. But Peter is able to follow him. And in fact, after that, the angel left Peter alone. And Peter went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, where the people there, the Christians, were gathered to pray specifically for Peter. So the Peter did not automatically send Peter to that house of Mary, but instead he left, he walked there, went to the house of Mary. So what did you notice here? There was a combination of what? Ordinary task and extraordinary miracle, right? This is the principle that I've noticed here. God will do the extraordinary, but his people must do the ordinary task. There are things that you can do. And what you can do, you are expected to do. What you cannot do, God will do it for you. Yes, you pray fervently, but you need to follow him, you need to trust him, and you need also to do your part. You cannot say, I prayed fervently, that's it. No, you have your part. Even in this miracle, Peter had his part also. It causes miracle to take place when we pray fervently. We are encouraged to pray fervently, earnestly, without ceasing. In fact, in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the word of God says, men ought always to pray and not to faint, or not to lose heart. Not only men, but women also. Believers, you must pray. You ought to pray not to lose heart. That's in 18:1. But in 11:8 of Luke, was the story about a man who went to his friend's house because he has a friend from a journey. He was asking for a bread because he has nothing to offer. Remember that story? This is not a parable because when Jesus say this, he did not say a parable. Probably this is a reality. So he went to his friend's house, and then it says here in Luke 11:8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, look at the word, impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Are you familiar with that word, impudence? Not so familiar, right? Other, in King James, it's importunity. The more it's hard. Impudence. Importunity. The picture here is this man received answer, or his request was answered because of his impudence. That means he prayed persistently, and the word is shamelessly. You remember the woman who asked, Syrophoenician woman? He asked to the Lord persistently, and he received answer from Christ. God wants us to pray fervently. There's a picture there of being persistent, do not give up, and being shameless. Huh? Yung hindi nahihiya. Boldly. In other words, walang hiya. It's another. So come to the Lord. When you pray, importunately, impudence, with impudence, shameless asking. That's the picture there. But do not give up. Do not give up until something happens. There's an acronym, right? I don't know who coined this one. P-U-S-H. Push. Push. Pray until something happens. But do your part. You need to do something. God has, He will do the extraordinary, but you do those things that you can do, those ordinary tasks. There was a story of a little boy, I mean a mother who went to the grocery with her four-year-old son, and then the little boy asked her, "Mom, you please give me some chocolate, buy me a chocolate." "No, son, we have a lot of chocolates there. We don't need to buy. We have a lot of chocolates." And then the boy was so persistent, but the mother ignored his request. And then during the time when they are in the lineup to pay for the groceries, the boy noticed that this is my last chance. My mom will go to the cashier, then I lose my chance. So the boy shouted, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate, please?" You know what happened? The people in their lineup hear the little boy, and also the other lineup. So one by one, they went to the chocolate section, get some chocolate, paid for it, and give it to the little boy. He went home smiling. He was so happy, riding inside a car filled with chocolates. Now the point here is, pray fervently. When you pray fervently, it's not only, it comforts your mind to have peace, but it will cause miracle to take place. Amen? Pray. I encourage you to pray fervently for our leader. Pastor, don't give up. That's the reason why Pastor Sunny was able to sleep well when he was that pain. Because of you. Thank you so much. On behalf of the elders and deacons, for those who pray. For those who pray for our ministry here. It's hard. When Pastor Sunny said, "Oh, can you give a message?" It's hard, right? But by your prayer, things is possible. Everything is possible. Amen. Third and the last. If you pray fervently, it changes the mindset of people. It will change your mindset. You will not believe, but if you pray fervently, something will happen. You will understand. Now let's take a look at here in verse, the background here. It's a little bit funny because many believers were praying for Peter, specifically for Peter, because he will be facing a public trial. So probably the believers, it mentioned here, earnest prayer made by the church. And also there were people praying. Look at the verse 12 of chapter 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So there were really believers in the house of Mary praying for Peter. And then what happened in verse 15? They prayed fervently, earnestly for Peter. But in verse 15, when Rhoda, the young girl, somebody knocked on the door, and when she looked at, she opened the door, and he saw Peter. And then he told the brethren who were praying that Peter was there outside, knocking at the door. Look at verse 15. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, it was Peter. And they keep saying, "It is his angel. It's not Peter." It's funny, right? Praying fervently. "Lord, deliver Peter." We're praying fervently that you will do miracle, that you will deliver him from death and do something. But what happened? Peter was there. More than what they asked. Because Peter was there knocking at the door and said, "You are mad, Rhoda." I remember the man who prayed, "Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you will give us a good weather today. I know, Lord, I trust that you will not give us rain." But when he went out of his house, he bring his umbrella. Where's faith? Now, why people don't believe despite of praying earnestly? What do you think are the reasons? Even us, we experience that. We pray fervently, but we don't believe. Yes, we prayed sincerely, but we have that doubt. These believers, what happened to them? It is because, probably, when they pray, they have the, what we call preconceived idea of what will happen. They have their expectations, right? Probably, Lord, you will answer this maybe tomorrow morning, or not this time, Lord, that Peter will knock at the door. Maybe tomorrow something will happen, but not. Sometimes we do. We have that kind of attitude. Lord, Friday is okay, but Saturday is not okay. We are surprised if God answers our prayer not exactly as what we expect. We are sometimes unhappy, and the worst thing is we don't believe. But we pray for it, right? But you know what, believers, we cannot box God. We cannot control him. God answers his prayer in a different way. Sometimes God will say, not that way, my son, my child. Not now, not here, not him or her. Sometimes like that. Huh? What did the word of God say in Isaiah 55, 8 to 9? This will change our mindset. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It may be a different way, but for sure, that is the best way. You need to understand that. You need to change your mindset. Peter even doubted that it was the angel, but he said, when he realized, look at the word there, he realized, oh, that's the angel who delivered me. Different way. A woman went to the pharmacy to buy some medicine for her daughter who was sick. Then after, when she got the medicine, she went to the parking lot, and she noticed that the car was locked, and the key was inside the ignition, hanging. So she called her daughter. She said that it would take it a little longer because the key was inside the car and it's locked. And her daughter was smart, street smart. Mom, you get a coat hanger. You need to have a wire coat hanger. Bend it, insert it in the window, pull it up, and you'll be able to open the door. I saw it on TV. So the mother went to the store. She bought a coat hanger. But she said, oh, I don't know what to do. I have this coat hanger. So she prayed to the Lord. My car is locked. The key is inside. I don't know what to do. I have a coat hanger. Please send somebody who would help me. And after she prayed, right away, after she prayed, there was a car dropped somebody in the parking lot where she was standing. And she looked at the guy. I don't think this is the guy God sent. God would send. He looks like a homeless. But she said, if this is the man God sent, then I would approach him. So he approached the man, sir, will you please help me? What's your problem, lady? I have my car was locked. I have this coat hanger. I don't know what to do. The guy said, where's your car? Let's go to your car. So they went to her car. The guy bent the coat hanger, insert in the window, pull it up, and the door was opened quickly, instantly. So the lady was so amazed. She hugged the man. Sir, you're really a good man. You're a good man. And then the guy said, no, lady, I'm no good man. I'm no good man. I just got out of prison this morning. So the lady went inside the car, raised her hand, praise God, Lord, thank you so much for answering my prayer. And most of all, thank you for sending me a professional. That's over answer, right? She didn't believe, no, this is not the man, but, you know, God is. When we pray, take note, brethren, when we pray, sometimes the answer is direct, right? Now, I will answer. But there are times when we pray, the answer is different. Not that. And sometimes the answer is delay, not now. Sometimes the answer is denied. That's hard. It's hard when God says no. But always remember, God answers prayer in his own way, in his own means, in his own measure, and his own time. You need to understand that. Pray fervently will change our mindset. Let us be ready in whatever is God's response. May all of us will say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Even Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that kind of prayer. When we pray fervently, it comforts our mind to have peace. It causes miracle to take place, and it changes the mindset of people. May the Lord bless this message.